Certainly those unborn ghosts include greater poets than Keats, scientists greater than Newton. We know this because the set of possible people, allowed by our DNA, so massively outnumbers the set of actual people. In the teeth of these stupefying odds, it is you and I, in our ordinariness, that are here. And in closing, from John Clare's poem, Remembrances, just one line. Ah, words are poor receipts for what time hath stole away. Prologue with premonitions. What can the England of 1940 have in common with the England of 1840? But then, what have you in common with the child of five whose photograph your mother keeps on the mantelpiece? Nothing, except that you happen to be the same person. That's from George Orwell, England, Your England, Socialism and the English Genius. Read your own obituary notice. They say you live longer. Gives you second wind. New lease of life. That's Leopold Bloom in James Joyce's Ulysses. Before me is a handsome edition of Face to Face, the smart magazine that goes out to the supporters of London's National Portrait Gallery. It contains the usual notices of future events and exhibitions. The page that has caught and held my eye is the one which calls attention to a show that starts on 10th of January 2009, titled Martin Amis and Friends. The event is to feature the work of a gifted photographer named Angela Gorgas, who was Martin's lover between 1977 and 1979. On the page is a photograph taken in Paris in 1979. It shows, from left to right, myself and James Fenton and Martin, ranged along a balustrade that overlooks the city of Paris. I remember the occasion well. It was after a decent lunch, somewhere in Montmartre, and we would have been looking over Angela's shapely shoulders at the horrible wedding cake architecture of Sacré-Cœur. Perhaps this explains the faintly dyspeptic expression on my features. In the accompanying prose, apparently written by Angela, is the following sentence about the time she first met the bewitching young Amis. Martin was literary editor of The New Statesman, working with the late Christopher Hitchens and Julian Barnes, who was married to Pat Kavanagh, Martin's then literary agent. So there it is, in cold print, the plain, unadorned phrase that will one day become unarguably true. It's not given to everyone to read of his own death, let alone when announced in passing in such a matter-of-fact way. As I write, in the dying months of the year 2008, having just received this reminder note from the future, that future still contains the opening of the exhibition and the publication of this memoir. But the exhibition and its catalogue references also exemplify still vital elements of my past. And now, rather abruptly, between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow. T.S. Eliot's Hollow Men do not constitute my cohort, or so I hope, even though one might sometimes wish to be among the Stoics who have crossed with direct eyes to death's other kingdom. The fact is that all attempts to imagine one's own extinction are futile by definition. One can only picture the banal aspects of this event, not in my case the mourners at the funeral, again excluded by the very rules of the game itself, but the steady thunk of emails into my inbox on the day of my demise and the way in which my terrestrial mailbox will also become congested, until somebody does something to arrest the robotic electronic stupidity. Or until failure to pay up leads to an abrupt cancellation of the bills and checks and solicitations. None of them ever in my lifetime, arriving in the right proportions on the right day. May it be that I gain a lifetime subscription to Face to Face, and that this goes on forever, or do I mean to say for all eternity? The director of the National Portrait Gallery, the excellent Sandy Nairn, has written me an anguished letter in which he not only apologizes for having me killed off, but tries to offer both explanation and restitution. The display, he writes, also includes a photograph of Pat Kavanagh with Kingsley Amis. A last-minute change was made to the text, and instead of it reading the late Pat Kavanagh, it refers to yourself. This kindly meant missive makes things more poignant and more eerie rather than less. I have just opened a letter from Pat Kavanagh's husband, Julian Barnes, in which he thanks me for my note of condolence on her sudden death from cancer of the brain. I had also congratulated him